Yep, thanks, Cindy, for welcoming me to my own church. It's good to be here tonight and just to have this chance just to say a few words about my life story, which isn't very exciting, but nevertheless, I've been asked to do that tonight, so that's what I'm going to do. Most people think whenever you're a minister that you grew up in a house where everyone was Christian, you were always going to be a minister, you were always a Christian. But in my case, none of that is true. My parents were not Christians. No one in our family were ministers. And that's basically where I'm coming from this evening as I come just to talk about how I came to be a Christian and how I came to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I was born and brought up in Belfast, in West Belfast. I was thinking about this earlier on. Here's an example of how a Belfast child thinks. The school I went to in my first 3 years of school, I changed school in P3, but the first school I went to was called Suffolk Primary School, which is in West Belfast. And I remember as a child going out onto the football pitch, must have been a Monday morning, and we were studying, we went over, the crowd of us boys, and we were studying on the ground in the goal nets, where the pitch football nets were. The marks on the ground. And we were studying the marks, which were the marks of studs, you know, from football boots. There'd been a match there over the weekend. And I can remember us all saying, it must be cows. They let cows in during the week or during the weekend, and it's cows have been on the pitch. That's what those strange marks are. Now, that's how a Belfast person thinks. They've never seen a cow. But they guess that that's what cows must look like. They leave marks like football boots. So that's the kind of, you know, what it's like to grow up in Belfast. We weren't kind of inner city Belfast. We were out on the edge. We did see fields. We did see animals. But it was just West Belfast out on the edge. And that's where I grew up. As I say, when I grew up, my family, no one were Christians in the family, but when I was in P3, we moved school. We moved house, actually, because the troubles were getting really bad at that time. And we moved to Finnickey. And I started to attend Finnickey Presbyterian Church. My parents sent us to Sunday school, to Boys Brigade, to the youth club. But the organization that made greatest impact on me growing up was the Christian Endeavor, the CE, as it was called. And we would have went along to CE, which was on a Wednesday night just before the midweek, in which the adults went to. The thing that really stuck in my memory most of all about the CE was the annual summer camp. We went to Tullymore Forest Park for a week. The first week in July, every year, they went for a camp. And there were about 6 to 8 tents with about 6 boys and 6 girls and 6 boys and 6 girls and a marquee. And we would have had lots of activities, treasure hunts and out on the beach and slippery rocks and It's a Knockout, if you remember that TV program. We did all that sort of stuff, but they also did Bible teaching. And we would have had missionaries come as well, and they would have talked to us. But I remember one night, the leaders took us down to the river, the Shimna River, and we sat, if you know Tullymore Forest Park, at Foley's Bridge, and one of the guys had a guitar, and we had a sing-along, and we played a few games, and then we sang some hymns and choruses, and someone gave a talk, and that was the first time I felt the power of the gospel. That night, I felt God speaking to me, and I said to one of the leaders about this, and we went back up to the campsite, and he led me in a prayer of committing my life to the Lord, and that at the time, I would say, was very real. It was certainly, I felt the power of the gospel speaking to me, but that was the year I moved to big school. I was 11, and when you move from primary school to big school, you enter a whole new world, and I entered a whole new world. And what I had sort of discovered, in some sense, when I was 11, it wasn't too long before I came home from school one day and I declared to my parents with great authority that I no longer believed in God. I didn't know Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But whatever age I was, early teens perhaps, I declared that there was no God and I no longer believed in God. And that just was my teenage years. No time for God. I maybe turned up the church from time to time for a BB and Roman service or for the annual Remembrance Day service, but that was about it. After school then, when I left school, I didn't do as well in school as I hoped. I didn't get into uni, so I started to work. I got a job working in an office for a well-known drinks company, alcoholic drinks company, and I worked for them for 3 years. God just didn't register on my radar at all. No thought for God at all. I can't emphasize that enough this evening. I was living what I would say was a very worldly life. I was dead to God, is how I would put it. But that changed in the summer of 1985. In the summer of 1985, I went on holiday to Spain for 2 weeks, and you go mad when you go on those holidays. On the way home, we got on the plane and it was dark, it was still in the middle of the night, one of those awful charter flights where it's the middle of the night when you're on the plane. But as we flew home, it was coming into the early morning and the sun was just coming up over the horizon and I was at the window seat. And as the sun was coming up over the horizon, it was just spectacular beauty. The sun just appearing, and as the plane flew on, the sun was coming up more and more. And I was sitting watching this beautiful scene of the sunrise. And this thought came into my head, there must be something more to life than what you have. There must be something more to life than what was back there. And that thought, for the next 6 months, set me on a journey, looking for what life was all about. If you think of a house, some of those countries in the world, they've got houses built on stilts. My house, my life was built on stilts. That kind of thought about all that partying, that was one stilt knocked away. I had a relationship going on, that ended, and that stilt broke away. I was a wee bit involved in politics at that time, and I got greatly disillusioned, and that stilt fell away as well. And I could sense my life was kind of just not what it should be. I was very unhappy, and a man in work had an argument with me one day about religion, and I started to read the Bible because he knew more about the Bible than I did, but I didn't understand it. But I started to read it. Now, we had a family friend at home, and when Fred came to our house, he was an elder in a church down the road, very friendly with my parents. And when Fred came to our house, this is no joke, when he came in the front, I went out the back as quickly as I could. And Fred would have come from time to time, and Mommy said to me, you know, you're very unhappy. She wasn't a Christian, but she said, could you not go and talk to Fred? He's a wise head, and go and have a wee word with him. So I went down, and I had a chat with this man. He lived just off the Lisburn Road. We talked. I told him how I was feeling. I can't really remember anything about the conversation except for his prayer at the end. And he prayed at the end. He said, and I remember this vividly, he said, Lord, give this young man no peace until he finds his peace with you. And I came out of the house and walked down his driveway thinking, what a strange prayer to pray. Like, I'm looking for peace. I'm trying to find what life's all about. And he's praying that God will give me no peace. He suggested to me that I go along to a Bible study that took place in Belfast at that time. It no longer takes place, the Crescent Church on a Tuesday night. And Derek Bingham was the Bible teacher. He taught this Bible class for about 20 years through the worst years of the Troubles. And there would have been on a Tuesday night in the Crescent Church 600, 700, 800 people, mostly young people. And Fred said to me, why don't you go along some Tuesday night and go and hear Derek Bingham teaching the Bible? So I thought, well, what can I lose? I'll go. I went in one of those Tuesday nights, the 20th of January, 1986, and I felt like doing this, in case anybody saw me going into a church service. I went upstairs, and I sat in the back seat, and when the Bible reading was given, the girl who was a total stranger to me, shared her Bible with me. And I thought, that's a really strange thing to do. Why would she want me to read the Bible with her? And I encourage you, if you're beside somebody at a meeting, to do that. That spoke to me. That here was someone who was concerned that I would read the Bible. But Derek Bingham that night was preaching, and I can't remember a word he said that night. But I remember that as he was preaching, and as he opened up God's word that night, I could see somehow, I can't explain this, I could see that he had something that I didn't have. And as he preached, in my heart, I just had this sense of, I want what that man's talking about. And I prayed that prayer. I just said, I want what that man's talking about. And in that instance, my heart was changed. And I can't explain how that happened, though maybe will in a moment or two. John Wesley, when he was converted, said his heart was strangely warmed. I would say my heart was strangely changed. There was just a change came in my life, and I just knew it was different from that moment. There's a verse in Acts where Stephen, as he's talking about what God was doing in the world, he says, the God of Abraham appeared, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. And I would say that was something what happened to me. I saw a sense of glory that night, some sense of something greater, something more satisfying than anything that I was trying to satisfy myself on, something more beautiful than anything I had encountered in this world, something that was glorious. And everything that I had seemed so shabby and shoddy. What happened then as a result of that? I'll explain it a bit more in a moment or two. I found a peace with God. I went to work the next day and I told my work colleagues, and you know, they didn't understand what I was talking about, but I found a peace with God. I was at rest with myself, I was at rest with the people around me, and that's not to say I don't ever lose that sense of peace or don't go through periods of battling with the world and the flesh and the devil. I still do to this day. But I found the peace of God that passes understanding. I found the knowledge of God, that I could talk to God as my Father. Prayer was no longer some kind of foreign exercise, but suddenly I could pray to God, and I began to ask for a new job. I worked for the drinks company, remember, and I thought, I can't work here anymore. Got a bad conscience about working for them. And so I applied for the Ulster Bank. In those days, I'm not sure if it's still like this, but you have to be under 21 to join the bank. I started in the bank on my 21st birthday. God's timing was perfect. And I was praying that God would take me out of where I was at. And I got this answer to prayer, and it was like God gave me a birthday present. New job, my 21st birthday. I found new people to belong to as well. The people of God. Up to that, I thought the people of God were all old fuddy-duddies. Can I say that? I thought the church was full of fuddy-duddies. Suddenly, I discovered these people in my home church. They welcomed me with open arms. It was like the prodigal son. You know the story Jesus told of the prodigal son coming home? That's the way they treated me. And maybe I was the prodigal son coming home. But these people welcomed me and loved me and cared for me. And I discovered these folk had an amazing sense of joy in their lives. Some of these older people in particular had a sense of humor that I was just amazed by. They didn't tell dirty jokes. They were really hilarious. They had a real joy in their lives, and I could mention quite a number of them by name. They just welcomed me, and they didn't drink, and yet they had a far better time than the people who were drinking. And you went to parties with the young people in the church, and you had a far better time without drink than what you had in the days when you were drinking. And there was this sense of family and of fun, and this sense of knowing God and being the people of God. And Jesus talked about his people as the salt of the earth. And that's what I discovered they were, the salt of the earth. And I started to get involved in different ways. And I could mention many of those folk and the influence they had upon me and just the way they reached out to me and made me feel at home. The best bit of all but about what happened in my life and God coming into my life was that I came to know Jesus Christ in a personal and in a very real way. That first night, as I've said, when I got converted, I didn't understand anything about what happened that night. All I knew was that my desires were new, my attitudes were new, my behavior was changing. I was blind, but now I could see. But the verse that really began to speak into my life and which kind of formed it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, is from Galatians chapter 2, where it talks about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God loved me before I ever loved him. In fact, God loved me when I hated him. And God knew me long before I ever wanted to know him. And God, there's that verse in that hymn, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And God had pardoned me out of his love and out of his mercy. And that was the explanation for what had happened. I had been, as we said this morning, born all over again. God had come into my life, and by his grace, and then he called me on. And the story of how I became a minister is a different story, and I'm not going to cover that tonight. So really tonight, what I'm talking about is how God moved in my life. God changed me and revealed his Son in me that I might serve him, but most of all that I might know him and just enjoy him and love him. Why he did that, I don't know, but he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ is more precious today than what he was back then. The thing that people often say when they give their testimonies is, the thing they regret about becoming a Christian is that they didn't do it earlier. And I would say that about me as well. The thing I regret about becoming a Christian is that I became a Christian when I was 20 and not whenever I was 10, stayed at it whenever I was 10. But that was God's timing, and that was the way God worked, and God brought me to that point. And as I close, the Bible says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it's lovely just to think that whenever you hear the message and you understand it and you cry out to God, I encourage you tonight, young person, if you've never cried out to God, cry out to God and say, Lord, I want what that man's talking about. I want to be saved. When you find God, you'll find something that satisfies you in a way nothing in this world satisfies. Gives you a joy that no joy in this world compares to. Gives you a peace that no experience in this world can deliver to you. And it gives you a hope of heaven that nothing in this world can compare to. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I encourage you to put on your name into that verse. The Son of God who loved John. The Son of God who loved Jill. The Son of God who loved whoever and gave himself for me. Died on a cross for me. On the cross he shed his blood. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Thank you.